Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on season 4, episode 3, The Cold Turkey.
Gobble, gobble.
Oh, hey.
Gobble means something very different in Scotland to a turkey noise.
Yes.
I'll let you Google it. It's too rude for this podcast.
It's too rude for this podcast.
It's too rude. Anyway, other than discussing the difference in meanings between gobble in the US and gobble in the UK, my name is Heather. I have never seen the OC.
My name is Jane, and I have seen the OC.
And every week we come together to discuss another episode of the OC.
We're fairly flying through them.
We really are. When I was watching today, because I watch on all four, shout out all four, I foolishly scrolled down to just count how many episodes there were, and I keep forgetting there's so few episodes this series to all the other series, and it's really freaked me out. I'm also freaking out because you told me this is the last of the normal episodes and it all goes batshit after this, so
yeah. I've not got a very good poker face, so
no.
Yeah, we should just jump in with previously on the OC.
yes, last time Julie got Ryan to go to Mexico to try and find and kill Volchek. And Seth ended up going with them and ultimately stopped him. And now Ryan is a pure raging at Seth.
Yeah, he's livid, isn't he? We also had the return of Taylor, who we thought was in France, but she's actually been hiding out in Newport because she got married and has had to flee her French husband, and we get a wee bit of insight into the whole situation.
I loved her name. What was it? Madame Townsend de Marmont. Marmoral.
It's a strong name.
Strong. Very strong.
But yeah, we'll find out more about that as the story unravels. We've got Caitlin, who is acting out a little, isn't she? Partly because Julie is just not dealing with her grief.
No.
And she's just totally shutting out everyone, Caitlin and Dr. Roberts included. And we've got Dr. Roberts, who seems to have been spending time with a step monster, and we were given the impression that he'd been having an affair, cheating on Julie. And Summer is not coping with her grief either, is she? She's not dealing it.
Ultimately meaning that Summer and Seth are also not great as a consequence.
On the rocks.
She's just avoiding him and thus avoiding Marissa's death.
Yeah.
And then we had a reminder that Volchek didn't actually mean to kill Marissa, and that Seth tried to get him to get in touch with Sandy to help him in this situation he finds himself in, which is basically on the run in Mexico.
Yeah.
So we talked about this in the season 3 finale. Tom, one of our regular listeners, brought it up. The layout of the Coen household confuses me greatly. And I know we could go online and look at the blueprints, but where's the fun in that? And where the Coen's bedroom is, I don't understand where that is in relation to where the pool house is, because it's seemingly they can look
on the same floor, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. This is also one of the few times there's been a shot of the pool house that I've looked at and thought, that looks like it's not real. That looks like it's a green screen behind it.
Totally. Yeah, there was another bit later on towards the end of the episode where I thought the same. But yeah, it opens up with a little Kate Fly tune. Do you remember them?
Oh my God, yes, I do. Are they not still doing the rounds?
Who knows?
I think they are,
quite possibly.
I went to a gig, a real life gig.
So jealous.
Last week, I know. I've had my two jags and I'm ready to go.
Oh.
But yeah, I obviously got the bug for it and just looked for the whole train journey home, was just looking at what gigs I can go to. And I'm so sure I saw Get Kate Where Kate Fly.
There we go. Blast from the past. But yeah, we find out that Ryan hasn't spoken to the Coens in days. And obviously Sandy and Kirsten are concerned, but they're more concerned that he's also patching Seth.
Yeah.
And then we cut to phone call between Julie and Ryan.
Yeah.
They're sort of chatting, and the cones are freezing Julie out, understandably, because she sent their son to Mexico to kill a guy.
100% understandably. Like, Sandy was perfectly within his rights to go to the police over that. So, not coming to Thanksgiving dinner is the least.
Yeah. She's got off quite lightly. And we've also got Seth leaving Summer yet another voice message.
Yeah.
And she's sort of listening to it. And while she's doing so, she comes across a picture from graduation. She comes across our Atomic County, a copy of the comic book. And she's just avoiding, isn't she?
Yeah. And Seth says the infamous foreboding words of, things will blow over today because they have to. It's Thanksgiving. It's Chris McCall all over again.
Oh, they put so much faith in holidays completely saving the day. They totally romanticise it, don't they?
Yes, very much so. Very much so. And then obviously Sandy says pretty much the exact same thing to Kristen. Mm-hmm. You just watch. Always this family is going to come together for the holidays. That's what we Coens do.
So we're then greeted with some very awkward coffee making.
Yeah, I love the fact you can hear the coffee maker dripping.
The drip.
It's so intense. I also love the fact that they kind of bump into each other in the kitchen. It's you all live in the same house. Of course, you're going to be in the kitchen at the same time. But anyway, nobody's chatting. It's super awkward. There's loads of really awkward looks between everybody. And then Sandy gets a phone call to just break the tension.
Yeah. And we don't know who's on the phone to, but he is saying, he opens it with, "Where are you?" We're thinking straight away that it could be Kevin.
Yeah. And Kirsten does the peak mum thing and just totally cracks and is I'm going to take control of this freaking situation, and is enough. No more tiptoeing and no more awkward silences. It's Thanksgiving and we're going to get over this and we are going to move on. Now, Kirsten, Kiki, you don't mind if I call you Kiki. You have been to therapy. You know it's not that easy. I just find, see if Sandy had had this outburst, I think it would have been way more believable. But Kirsten having it just made me be a bit yeah.
Yeah. And then Sandy sort of takes Ryan aside and he's like, look, if you can't put your anger aside for one day, then there's no point in any of this. And then Ryan just totally deadpans like, oh, I'm not angry. I just wish he was dead, that's all.
Yeah.
And then we see Sandy calling Volchuk, who's at the beach, and they've got plans to meet.
I found this really tense. See, as soon as I saw that Volchuk was in California, I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It really set the tone for the rest of the episode.
Definitely a sense of foreboding. Will he? Won't he? What's going to happen? Although I did. We've got the opening credits, and then it just cuts to, Volchuk pacing the beach, and it all just felt a bit... over the top. He's walking back and forth, head and hands, jumping up,
how long was he doing that for?
I don't know, it felt way too long.
But how long did it take Sandy to get to the beach? Was he just doing that constantly for half an hour? What if he got stuck in traffic?
Yeah, traffic isn't great. They're the best times, but it just sort of, I don't know, how did you feel? I just found Volchuk not insincere. I couldn't tell if it was bad acting or good acting at being a character like that, because he's sort of been I've just been on the run, I'm so sick of being on the run, I want this all to be over. And Sandy's, and he's even when he's thanking Sandy, I'm it just seems, it's just so weird to see that side of him.
Yeah, it was. I think that's because the side we've not really, the only time I can think of a flutter of this same kind of vibe was, remember when he was dressing up for prom for Marissa?
Yeah.
And he got into the swing of it and he got a tie, didn't he? And he was trying to do his tie.
That's
and,
right.
That vulnerability.
Yeah.
Is the only time we've really seen that.
He's not comfortable.
No.
In the situation at all, but he thanks Sandy and he's trying to give him a bit of chat, and Sandy's just look, I'm not your friend, I'm your lawyer. Drive away.
Quite abrupt. Quite abrupt. I don't know if I believe, what you were saying, I just don't believe Volchuk would turn around. It'd be different if it was something happened in Mexico that made him come back.
Yeah.
But just this. But then again, he's not meant to be that Seth. Old, you know? Or maybe it was Seth. Maybe Seth changed his mind.
Mm.
A valid point.
But yeah, we've got Taylor is now sleeping under Seth's bed.
She's not wearing that sexy cami anymore, she isn't.
No.
They were proper Jimmy Jammies.
Yeah. And he's brought her a bagel. Much to her dismay, she wanted like an egg white omelette or something, didn't she?
Yeah.
But he's like, look, you can't stay here. Summer's coming back. And then Taylor being Taylor is like, oh yeah, you guys need to spend all the time together that you can because your relationship is hanging by a thread. And Seth's like, I didn't say that. Where did that come from? And then she's like, oh, I must have dreamt it. And then he's like, look, Taylor, did something happen when you went to visit Summer? And he's sort of saying, I feel like I've barely spoken to her the past few months. And Taylor's just sort of like, oh gosh.
Yeah, it's really, again, more awkwardness. So yeah. Awkward. But I think like the woman that plays Taylor and Seth both do awkward so well.
Yeah, like, they do.
So well. Do you know what it reminds me of is, you know how like the real slapstick comedy moments, like when Julie and Luke were together and he tried to come in and like he's outside and she was pointing at, like, it's that same kind of energy where you're just like,
yeah, they're,
it's very well done.
It's a good vibe. And then we cut to Summer, who has questions about coming back. She's on the phone to Dr. Robert and she's like, look, I don't think I can come. I can't deal with this. But he's like, look, I really need you to come home for my sake.
Yeah.
And then Q barking and he's like, what, where's this come from? And Caitlin has this really ugly dog that she's found at the
love ugly dogs.
Oh no, I'm not that mad on dogs. Well, yeah, I do like a doggo, but not, this was a really ugly one.
I love a good woofer, but like a really like fugly one with a little snaggle tooth that's naked with big floppy ears. Yep. Oh. Into it. So into it.
Oh.
Could you imagine the dog that Caitlin's got with a little jumper on? Cute.
Oh, oh yeah.
I bet it's so soft as well.
Oh. But he's like, look, get that thing out of my house. And it's quite funny. I think she's like, dude, he's whatever. And he's just like,
dude.
Yeah. And she makes a comment. He's sort of like, does your mum know about this? And she's like, oh, the dog's invisible. Just like me. I am.
Yeah. And then it turns out the dog's eaten his $700 worth of dollar pounds.
Dollar pounds worth of shoes.
Dollar pounds, you. $700 pair of shoes. And you can tell he is like seethingly angry. Like, you know how when you get so angry you can't talk? That's what he's at. And then she's just like, oh, so did you go to that conference on your own? And you can just, he just retracts so quickly. And she's just like, thought so. Like, it's so arrogant. It's like the arrogance that only like a cocky teenager could have.
Teenager. Yeah, she's just seen how far she can push it, isn't she?
Yeah.
And Summer's like, look, sounds like you're in the loony bin. I will come home.
Yeah, for sure. Over to Julie, who's on the phone to the private investigator and just giving him a really hard time for not working over Thanksgiving. Dr. Roberts really wants to talk to Julie and she's just not having it. Like, she's just not...
Yeah.
I guess it's a thing where you know those really difficult conversations are coming and you just want to do whatever you can to avoid it. So she goes shopping. She goes to the market. And he's very much like, we need to talk eventually. And she's like, okay, after the holidays, bye.
I don't know. I sort of swithered a wee bit on Dr. Roberts in this episode again because it sort of backtracked on what we thought we knew. And it seems a really difficult situation.
I can't imagine how they're all in. Difficult that, like, preface, Dr. Roberts is not a good guy. Not a good guy. Yeah. But the situation he finds himself in is so, 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 so hard. And, like, supporting yourself through that, hard. Supporting your partner through that, horrifically hard. Supporting your partner and their child through this.
Yeah.
Just, oh my god, like, I can't imagine. And then to have it that your partner won't engage with you at all, must just be, I'm not saying that Julie caused this by any means, but
no,
I feel slightly more sympathetic towards him. I quite like seeing him and Summer talking.
Oh yeah, I really like their dynamic.
It makes me like him more.
Yeah, definitely. Julie's just totally benched this until after the holidays. And she is at the grocery store where Seth and Ryan are also there.
You know, when you go on holiday and you go to like a grocery store in another country and it's just so much more amazing than the grocery stores here.
So good, isn't it?
It's not even dramatic. Like, grocery stores here are pretty damn great. Like, we do a food shop well in the UK, but it's just everything's the same, but everything's different and it's so cool. It's so cool. I love it.
Holiday crisps just holiday hit different, crisps. Don't they?
Holiday crisps are the one. Holiday lemonade, you just can't get it here. It's not the same.
Fanta, it's just all better.
Tomatoes also taste better in Europe. Fact.
Yeah. But yeah, it does have those vibes. And Seth kind of does as usual. He's going off on all his sort of chat that he would normally about, oh, you sent us to Mexico, thanks for the holiday, blah, blah, blah. And Julie's just like, right, shut up, Seth, I've heard all this from your dad. And then she's like to Ryan, care to join me at the samples?
Do you know what COVID has destroyed as well as buffets?
Oh, samples. As well.
Cheese samples are a thing of the past. I went to Wookie Hole, which is down in Cheddar in the UK near Bristol for my friend's birthday. And me and her boyfriend honestly went back to the cheese samples probably about like 8 times. Sneaking back. That won't be there anymore. Thanks, COVID.
No. But yeah, they're just casually eating cheese and chatting about how the private investigator should have a location for Monday. Again, we've got, this must be like, I don't know, the Saturday or something? Who knows? Let's not even go down that road.
Let's not.
So Kirsten then comes in and finds Taylor in her kitchen, helping herself to some stuffing.
Yes.
And then she's like, right, what is going on? Thought you were meant to be in France. And Taylor's like, oh, I can't tell you, it's too private. And she's like, I'll make you a plate of food. She's like, okay, and sort of decides
so
to come clean.
So easily swayed.
And then we cut back to the grocery store where Julie and Ryan are like, look, if this is going to work, if we're going to get Volchuk, we need to sort of pretend that we're over it because Sandy's not going to let us do what we need to do otherwise. So he's like, right, I'll go past. Obviously needed a little excuse to go by the office to set up what comes next.
Yeah.
So I'll go by the office on our way home. And then again, you've just got it sort of like juxtaposed with a little plan to kill a guy with, don't suppose you know how to cook a turkey.
No. I did think it was quite funny though. We talked about this in the last episode actually, about, or the first episode, how like the comedy was really jarring with the sadness.
Yeah.
Whereas like I thought it was a lot more, I guess, organic in this episode.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, only marginally.
The more time passes, the easier it's becoming.
Yeah. So Taylor is telling Kirsten about Henry. So the big shtick is that he won't agree to an annulment because he's really stubborn. And she says, bearing in mind Taylor is, what, 18? And she's talking to her friend's parent. She says, he's a stubborn man, sexy and well endowed, but stubborn. Why would you say that to your friend's mum? I would rather curl up and die than say that sentence to my friend's mum. And I'm an adult lady now.
Yeah, she's just an interesting character, isn't she? Because she's meant to be this sort of like preppy, goody two shoes, crazy organized, but then she's also like an 18-year-old sexual deviant.
Yeah.
That's like, talks like a woman in her 40s or something.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
that's
so weird.
Had a lot of crazy experience. Yeah.
It's so weird. Yeah, because you've got that sentence mixed with the fact that she's too scared to tell her mum. What? Yeah. It's so weird. And this is where she decides that Kirsten could tell Veronica instead.
Yeah, because Kirsten's like, oh, she loves you. And then she's like, that's really sweet, but you're totally wrong. She's not going to take this well.
No.
And then I've just written down like lots of French crying because she's just sort of like muttering French phrases and
oh my
getting
dear.
Weepy. Yeah. And yeah, she says, I'll help you, but not today, not Thanksgiving. But then they end up doing that anyway.
Yes. And Taylor is also sous chef off the back of this situation.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To say thank you for Kirsten's help.
And we have Seth picking Summer up at the airport with a huge bunch of roses. It's gone all out rather than carnations.
Now, I feel for the past however many episodes we keep talking about Sex and the City, but I really like Sex and the City. And I feel carnations just get a really tough time in TV shows. And this just reminded me of, it's when, is it Charlotte's on a date and somebody buys her pink carnations and she kicks off about it. And then Carrie's like, oh, I quite like pink carnations. And then Burger buys her the pink carnations. And then he dumps her. And then she, like, in the really dramatic shot at the end, like, swipes them off the table and they all everywhere. Yeah. This, as soon as he said, I was going to get you carnations, but I thought I should, like, splash out. I was like, man, carnations are great. They're such resilient little flowers. Yeah. If anyone wants to buy me some carnations, I'll take them every day. Every damn day.
But yeah, it's just awkward, isn't it?
It's so awkward.
Like, oh, I'm really glad you're home. And she's like, oh, yeah, I'm not home for long. And he's like, oh, but it's 3 days. And she's like, oh, well, look, that's not long. It's just super awkward.
I wonder how many shots they had to do to get that awkward kiss. Do you think that was just them just actually being really awkward?
Wonder what stage their relationship was at that point.
They must have broken up by now. I think they broke up by like season two, right?
But yeah. We cut to Sandy's office and he's with Volchik and they've just sort of entered his guilty plea. And this I've just written, like, what a dick. He's like, oh, so what, do you mean, like, I'm still going to be doing time? And it's like, yes, you murdered someone. And he's like, oh, that Seth guy said you could get me off. It's like, no, he said I'd help you.
But to play devil's advocate, we know that he dropped out of school early. Like, if he's not that smart and he's not that educated and some posh boy told him, my dad can help you, maybe he wouldn't have known. I felt really sorry for Volchik here. I feel the reality of the situation he created, and he did, and he should pay for his crime. But ultimately, he didn't, you know, shoot her in the head. Like, his crime was an accident. I don't think he intended to murder her. And, like, he did love her. Like, he was in love with her. And I just think it's so sad. Like, especially, how things went down. Yeah. Like, we'll touch on it when we get to it. But later on, I was just like, man, I feel sad for him.
What an idiot. Yeah. But he's talking about how running felt like prison, and Sandy's like, yep, that's guilt for you, pal. But again, more of the, oh, I really appreciate this, and it just doesn't feel genuine or sincere.
I also just don't believe that anyone in their right mind would think that a beach in Mexico, even if you are feeling guilty, is anything like a goddamn prison. Like, what a ridiculous sentence. Oh my god, it felt like a prison while I'm having a pina colada on the beach.
But Sandy makes the point that, look, I'm doing this for Ryan because this needs to be over so he can restart his life. Cue Ryan turning up at the office where one of Sandy's colleagues says, oh, he's just left with a client, can't believe he's working on Thanksgiving. Ryan sees Sandy pull away in his big fancy car. Little bitchmobile.
Little bitchmobile.
With Volchik in it. I know, I'll check him. He was, not long ago, he was calling it the little bitchmobile, and then he's taking going for a ride in it.
I don't think he ever called it the little bitchmobile. He just wrote little bitch.
It goes without saying, Heather.
It's not like, hey Ryan, you're cutting about in the little bitchmobile.
Little bitchmobile.
I would have loved it if he did, though. That would have been great.
It would probably have landed better than all these apologies that he's given. It's more believable.
Yes. Also loved that Sandy was back wearing those sexy aviators from Mexico.
Yeah, he looked great. Mm-hmm. And then we're back again. I felt this episode did have quite a lot of jumping about. Mm-hmm. Back in the Cohen kitchen where Kirsten and Taylor are cooking, or basically Taylor's just giving orders. And then Ryan comes in and asks, do you know where Sandy is? And he's obviously trying to track down him and Volchik. And at the same time, Summer and Seth arrive, and Taylor's like, oh, hey. And Taylor explains that she's come clean to Kirsten. And she also is like, did you bathe in a creek? some more comments on Summer's personal hygiene.
I can't remember why Kirsten and Taylor leave. Do they leave to go and chat to her mum? Is that...
They go to see... Yep, Kirsten and Veronica are off to face the VT.
And this is where Seth... Because Summer's like, oh, I've missed this house. I've not been here in ages. And then Seth is like, upstairs has been asking for you.
Yeah.
Subtle much?
Smooth. Smooth. Yeah, and I thought, like, she seems quite into it to begin with.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, and then they go upstairs. But yeah, we cut back to Julie and Dr. Roberts. And she's obviously has no idea how to cook this turkey. Also just a bit like Google, but anyway.
Also, Dr. Roberts is so rich. Just pay someone to come and cook your turkey. Come on now.
Yeah. But he's like, why are we not going to the Coens? She's not explained. She basically says that Kirsten's cooking rubbish. And then Ryan turns up at the door and he's sort of demanding to see Julie. And Dr. Roberts is like, no, you can't, not today. I have no idea what's going on here, but it's not good.
I thought this was really good. I thought this was like, for once, an adult taking control of the situation and being like, no, you can't do that. Sorry. And he's not rude about it. He's not like aggressive about it. I thought it was really well done. And then he kind of leaves it by saying, tell your family I say happy Thanksgiving, which,
yeah,
just good. A good interaction, I thought.
Yeah. Speaking of not so good interactions, we're over at the yacht club and Veronica has just been her usual obnoxious, demanding self, and kind of losing the plot at a guy over some candles.
Well, you can't have orange candles when you ask for burgundy, Jane.
So Kirsten enters and Taylor's sort of hiding in the background and she's like, oh, have you been doing Pilates? You look thin. Oh, like just giving her all these compliments. And she's such a fan of a backhanded compliment as well, Veronica, isn't she? She says, so Kirsten's obviously trying to get place the groundwork for, oh, your daughter's married.
Forgiveness.
Yeah, and she's she says, what is it she says? I'm a mother first and a sports agent second. And Kirsten's like, oh, I feel like that. And then she says something like, she's like, oh yeah, well, Seth's not the model child with the shootings and the car accidents and the
burning down
the Newport group or Sandy's office. Yeah. And then she hits out with like a Mother Teresa quote, doesn't she?
Yeah, sure. To be fair though, we all know someone who's like that, who thinks like butter wouldn't melt in their own mouth, even though they're not a very nice person. I think just complete delusional. Completely delusional, aren't they?
Yeah.
When they think their behaviour is acceptable, when it quite clearly is not. Anyway, Taylor turns up and she's like, oh my God, what are you doing here? And Kirsten kind of like hugs her on the way out and is like, it will be fine. I don't think it's going to be fine.
Nah. And then we're back at the Coens and Summer's opting to do some yoga instead of having sex.
Yeah. She also, like, this is where we find out that she knows about the tattoo and she doesn't like the tattoo either. Not a fan.
Yeah. But we see her sort of homing in on picture of like Marissa in the Atomic County comic book. And she sort of comes very close. Seth's like, are you okay? And she's like, I get upset when I think about. And then instead of trying to explore her feelings about Marissa, she's like, homeless people. And she starts giving all the statistics of all the people that don't have food.
Yeah, poverty.
And she's like, right, yeah, we're going to a soup kitchen.
Yeah. And obviously on the way out, they bump into Sandy. She explains to him, she's like, do you know 2.8 billion people or a million people live below the poverty line? She kind of like storms out and Sandy looking, I don't know whether it's like shook or impressed or whatever.
Yeah, sort of like incredulous, like, isn't it?
Who knew out of all of you kids, she'd be the one, she'd be the young Sandy Cohen.
The young Sandy Cohen.
Yeah. So funny.
He has a point.
Yep.
Yeah, and then we've got, so Sandy then goes into the kitchen to tell Kirsten what's happened with Volchuk, that he's turned himself in. Ryan hears this.
Of course he does.
And he is raging, and he's like, just leave me alone. And then he storms off and gets into the car.
Yeah.
And drives away.
Yeah, it's such a shame though, because Sandy does try to explain to him that he's not defending him, because that seems to be what really like bothers Ryan, that Sandy's defending Volchek in the same way he had defended him at one point or a couple of points in his life. And Sandy quite like cleanly and clearly is like, I'm not defending him. I'm negotiating the terms of his surrender. He's going to get what he deserves. And like, it's really good parenting to just explain like what that difference is and be like, I understand what you see this situation is, but that is not the situation.
Oh, this next bit. So Ryan goes to the beach in pursuit of Volchik, but he's wearing these terrible shades, like these sunglasses. They're awful. They make him look really old. But he ends up talking to a surfer dude, and the surfer guy's like, look, I don't know, but someone who may know where he is Mean Heather.
Mean Heather.
And he gets her number, and she comes to meet him, and she is like really apologetic, and it turns out that she stopped, she tried to get help, etc., following the accident. She's not really heard from Volchik, but she said he was really quite messed up after as well. And then she's just a bit like, look, Ryan, maybe you should let this go.
Yeah.
Well, it's easier said than done.
Yeah. But you can tell, like, she's, like, it's so, so simple how they've done it, but, like, she looks really clean face, like she's not wearing black, like all these things that kind of indicate, like subtle indicators,
softener.
That she's softened her and she's like doing better, I guess. She looks well. Like, it's almost that way where she's like, he was dragging me and my life down, like don't let him drag you and your life down.
Yeah, because she's not in Newport anymore either, is she? She makes some reference to she's just back for her parents.
Yeah,
Thanksgiving or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, mean Heather doesn't look quite so mean anymore.
No, but we can't not call her Mean Heather.
We can't distinguish. No. Yeah.
Would I then become Mean Heather? I'm just not ready for that.
No. Kirsten then gives Sandy a phone and he is out looking for Ryan. Taylor comes back. She's really upset because Veronica's thrown her out and told her that she will never be truly thin.
Never be naturally thin. I mean, that is a sad fact that a lot of people have to accept, me included in that. But your mother should not be the one that has to tell you that.
She really shouldn't. So Taylor's feeling homeless, and Kirsten's like, oh, you can stay. But I thought the way Kirsten said, she was like, you can stay here. And she's like, forever? And Kirsten's like, no, for one night. And I was like, well, I wasn't really thinking it was forever, but the way she said it was as if she was going to have, you know, it's not like she could come for a sleepover.
No.
But yeah, Kirsten's like, we'll find you somewhere to stay, don't worry. And then she's like enraged that Kirsten has skipped the pecan pie.
Yeah. I did love the fact she's like, oh my God, thank you, Kiki. I love the fact she's speaking.
It's her over-familiarity, isn't it?
And she's speaking to her like an equal. Like,
yeah.
It's just weird. Do you encounter kids like that who are like 15 but talk like they're like 35?
Yeah, you do get kids that talk to you as if you're like on their wavelength.
It's so weird. So weird.
You're 12.
You're 12. What do you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, this whole next section of the storyline that we're going into, I just think is fucking batshit crazy and really ridiculous writing. And I'm starting off by saying that so that I don't go into any angry rants. But that's how I feel about this next section.
Okay,
anything to add?
You're in for a wild ride for the rest of the season then. If you think bringing people from a soup kitchen to Thanksgiving is batshit crazy, you ain't seen nothing yet.
Great. They're easing me in gently. Do you know the thing that I think? See, if it was Seth that had organised it or Sandy that had organised it, I'd be like, yeah, sure. Could you imagine? Right. You're really into, you know, feeding homeless people. And then you turned up to my parents' house for a Christmas dinner. It's insane. It just would not happen. Like, it just would not. Who would have the audacity to do that? I don't even think Summer Roberts would.
Very privileged people. Yeah.
Wild.
But yeah, she's basically brought everyone from the soup kitchen, who all, we get the impression that they all smell really bad. And yeah. They're all coming for tea. And then we've got Sandy, haven't we, calling Julie to see if she knows where Ryan is. And it turns out that she didn't even know that Volchik was in custody.
No. And this seems to be like a real moment for Julie. And she's like, it's really over. and she hangs up and Caitlin comes in and is like, are you okay? And she, you can tell she's just like shook to the core.
And oh, yeah, she's totally rattled.
Yeah. And then Caitlin kind of goes to leave and Dr. Robert comes in. She kind of leaves them both by saying she's having a meltdown. Like, good luck with that.
Yeah. And then she's just trying to do anything to distract herself, isn't she?
Yeah.
She continues this cooking. And I really felt for Dr. Roberts. And some of these scenes, they were just really... Yeah, I mean, what do you do there?
Yeah, it's so difficult because at the end of the day, you want to encourage somebody to open up to you, but you can't force them. Like, they have to do it in their own time. And I think, like, Taylor actually says something really similar to Seth nearer the end. It's just, if they're not ready, there's literally nothing you can do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's definitely, have always sort of, like, as a friend or as I've wanted to, not fix, but I am sort of, I'm a bit of a
I'm
rescuer.
A fixer. Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And I think there, as you get older, there are just situations that you need to be like, okay, I need to step away from this and this is something they need to deal with and I can't do it for them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's tough, especially when it's someone you really care about because you just want to make life easier for them. But yeah.
I think it's quite a natural instinct to want to help. And I think that's a real sign of like, growth and development is appreciating that sometimes you can't fix everything. Anyway, Ryan's cutting about checking the motels. Now, I have stayed myself in 5 different hotels and motels in LA, and they were quite spread out across LA. You have stayed in a hotel in LA, so that's 6.
Yeah, several. Yeah.
How many hotels and motels is he having to go around and check? Yeah. There are so many.
Yeah, there's so many
hotels. It's just what was the plan?
And also, why was he not like at the Mermaid Inn straight away?
I know.
Surely that's your first protocol.
Shout out the Mermaid Inn. Anyway, I love the fact that when he comes out, Sandy's just like leaning against his car with his sunglasses on, like close, but he's not here.
Oh, what a so suave, so suave. But yeah, Sandy's like, get in, I'm going to take you to find Volchek.
Yeah, come with me. Sandy, in those glasses, I'll come with you wherever you want me to go.
Oh, yeah. So then we're back at the Coens and it's just sort of full of manic homeless people. And this, I quite like this. It was sort of cutting between Summer and cutting between Julie and how they basically were both floundering, but in very different ways, but they're really either doing anything to avoid chatting about Marissa.
It's interesting as well because Summer and Julie, I would always class, and even in this moment, I would still class as like the strongest characters. Like they are strong, fierce women. And it's just a real eye-opening moment that strong people still struggle, and they struggle even if a lot of the time they might not be showing that they're struggling. Like if they look like they're doing fine, a lot of the time you know they're not, and it's just how people like openly show their struggles. You know,
no, totally. Julie just absolutely loses it on the dog front. Dr. Roberts is just like, look, this has to stop, like you're acting insane. And yeah, they're just both not dealing with it at all. And this is where we find out that Dr. Roberts isn't having an affair. It's just been, he's been talking to Stepmonster. You can obviously get the impression that they have been growing closer. But Julie's like, she's like, I want you out of my house. And he's like, Julie, this is my house. And she was like,
well, we'll see about that.
And then she's like, and drives away. And you're just like, oh.
It's just so wild because like Julie and Julie is pushing everyone away from her, pushing Dr. Roberts away from her, pushing Caitlin away from her, whereas Summer is just hiding. And she's like building these like walls around her, whether it's the walls of distance to Brown, whether it's, you know, these homeless people that she's surrounded herself with. Like, it's just, it's really tough to see, especially like if you've been through that and then you're like, oh my God, that's exactly what I did. Like, and you can only see it in hindsight. You can only see it when you look back and you're like, oh, that cool. That's cool.
Sandy then takes Ryan to the motel and he's just says, lets him go in. He's like, he's in there, and he was like, I trust you. And he goes in, and Volchik is just lying on the ground. No, not lying on the ground. He's soon lying on the ground. And he goes in, he's just sitting in the bed, and he's, what does he say? He's like, oh, you've been waiting a long time for this.
Why was the door not closed? How could he just walk into that hotel room? I don't understand.
Who knows?
Stupid.
But yeah, then he just punches him in the face, knocks him to the ground, and then smashes a bottle. Because this is, do you remember, this is what Ryan did in season 3 on the beach.
Yeah.
And this is when Volchik proper shat it. Like, he went from a guy who was meant to be throwing fridges off piers to Ryan, literally, I don't even think he had a smash bottle. It picked up the bottle, and Volchik was like, ah.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
An interesting one. 180, 360? 360, a circle. That's it. yeah, it's. I just thought it was quite well done. And then the simple fact he's like, just do it, kill me, I don't even care anymore. Yeah. I just want it to be over. Like, it's just, he just plays pathetic very well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Another part of this story, which I thought was incredibly unbelievable, why would the police not just go in? Why would they wait for him to come out? They're basically waiting for him to murder him.
Yeah, Sandy Cohen has, like, a lot of clout in Newport Beach with the police, with the law alike, but you'd think if someone's, oh, just give them a wee minute. I mean,
just give them a wee minute. He's just he's just finishing him off, you know? Just don't go in there and stop him potentially murdering him. Insane. Mm.
But again, we don't really have a lot of faith in the American justice system, full stop. No. So the less said about that, the better.
But yeah, he's just talking to him, isn't it? I was not expecting this. I was not expecting this scene. I was not expecting this moment. I know Americans love a bit of closure, but this was just, this was extreme closure, right?
This was extreme closure, not the type of closure that you would expect from people of their age.
No, yeah, definitely,
but anyway,
not.
Ryan's like, you didn't do anything, you didn't try to get help. And Volchuk's like, look, I wish I could take it back. And Ryan's like, look, why did you do it? And he says, I didn't intend to kill her. I was coming after you. He's like, you got the girl, I didn't. It all got out of control.
That was hard for me to handle.
Yeah.
But it doesn't even make sense because Ryan didn't get the girl. They weren't going out.
Yeah, they weren't even going out. She was driving him to the airport. Or vice versa, he was driving her to the airport. But yeah, it was all Ryan's like, so this was just all an accident. It was a mistake. But I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't know what Ryan thought, but he's just like, look, if you want to end this, I won't fight back. And then, yeah, Ryan just walks out.
Yeah.
And Sandy's like, oh, I'm so proud of you. Are you hungry? And Ryan's like, I'm starving. And then that's it. It's like, what?
What's the last thing he says to him? He's like, you have to live with what you did. It's over.
Yeah.
Talk about a plot ender.
Yep.
That's that story arc completed, I guess. On to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. So then we're back at the, oh, this is sad, we're back at the Roberts. And Julie actually looks like she's made a banging meal.
It looks great.
It's all sitting.
Did you notice as well she had the orange candles? The same ones that Veronica had.
Veronica had, nice little place settings. And Summer comes in and she's like, where's my dad? And Julie's just like, he's gone. And then she's just like to Summer, we can't go on like this anymore.
Yeah.
And they both had the little handhold.
It was nice. I'm surprised they didn't come together sooner, especially if Summer being Marissa's friend from when she was wee. I don't know, I just would have thought they would have hung out before now.
I guess she's not really been here with college and stuff, but
true.
Yeah, but we're back at the Coens and everyone's arriving for dinner, and Ryan and Sandy come in and Kirsten gives Ryan a hug. And they're all sitting down with all these waifs and strays for dinner.
And this is where Taylor says to Seth, because Seth wants to phone Summer, wants to go over to see her. And Taylor really bluntly is like, she needs to face this on her own before you can help her. And I thought that was important. Yeah. Important thing about homelessness. Homelessness is poverty is rife across the world. There's loads of shelters you can donate to. If you can't donate money, donate mm-hmm. some time. If you are listening to this and you're like, Heather, shut up. I don't care. It's important. And
it is important. No. We've got to use our platform wisely, Heather.
Exactly. But there's loads of places, particularly in Glasgow, like Refuge, who are amazing, an amazing charity.
They're awesome.
So yeah, you should check them out. You don't have to have them around your house. That's a bit extreme. But like, yeah. If you want to donate some time or donate some money, or loads of them have like quite cool merch and stuff that you can buy as well. So
yeah,
there's loads of ways to give back in a way that Sandy Cohen would approve.
Yeah. And one of them turns out to be an ex-client of Sandy's.
Oh my God, I love
like
this.
Because he just looks at him and he's like, oh, crazy eyebrow man.
So funny.
And then another dog claims Caitlin's. Another guy claims Caitlin's dog, and it turns out that instead of being like Little Julie, he's called Savage.
Little Savage.
And then I really like this as well. So like Taylor's like quoting the Bible, and she's just going off in one of her sort of like Taylor tangents, and Caitlin's just like, you are a total freak show. Like, but it's so awesome.
So
it's so true.
Yes, very. Do you know the thing is though, like, I completely agree. I just do not think Caitlin would have that opinion. I think Caitlin would be like, get me the fuck away from her.
She's a rocket. Yeah.
But never mind. I'm sure we'll pick up on that inconsistency at a later date. Summer's away. She's way up the road. She's leaving again.
Yep. She needs to deal with Marissa. Her and her dad have a little chat, and she's like, I miss my friend. And it's quite nice because Dr. Roberts is just like, oh, Seth's growing on me. Like, yeah. I think you guys are going to be fine. And then I did not get this when I would have watched it first time round, because I had not watched all of Grey's Anatomy. But he's taking a job in Seattle, and he's like, yeah, it's just the crazy hospital in Seattle Grace. And I'm like, oh my God, it's a Grace reference. Are you a Grace fan?
I'm not. Do you know, I loved him. I loved House and I love New Amsterdam. But I started watching Grace, like I watched an episode or two and I was like, this is fucking amazing. But it was just too long. And I was like, I don't too have long. The time in my life.
To be fair, yeah, I think I started it maybe about 10 years ago and there was already like quite a bit in. There's like quite a lot underway. Then, but yeah, I love it. So yeah, he's got a job in Seattle Grace and Grey's Anatomy.
That's so funny.
So I really like that little reference. And then she's like, so will Gloria go with you? And he's like, no, she'll visit. We're going to take it slow. And then Summer's like, oh, I can just get a later flight, and they go to have dinner at Chili's.
Yeah, it looks like an Indian restaurant, maybe.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. Like Mexican, I don't know.
I quite love that. There was like, especially like on Christmas, if you do something wild and you're like, yeah, we're going to go for Indian instead of having Christmas dinner. Yeah, I like it.
Christmas dinner.
I'm into it. The rebel in me loves it. Yeah, that voice note that she left Seth was pretty tough. Like at the start of that, when she's like, what is it? She's like, I need to face this on my own. I miss my friend. And that line where she said, I miss my friend. I was just like, oh pal. Oh. So sad.
I watched this episode twice because I watched it a couple of weeks ago and I had the same reaction. Like, I cried both times watching it, like the last scenes. I found them really, just really bloody sad.
This last scene I found really upsetting. It was really upsetting.
Yeah.
Should we move on to that?
Yeah, so they're all having this wild Thanksgiving dinner and the door goes. And it's Julie, and she's crying, and she has come to apologise to Sandy. And he says to her, I've never heard you say that. And she says, I've never actually meant it.
Yeah.
And then when they get inside, I think she's probably like, what the hell's going on in here? Kirsten's like, pull up a chair. And she was like, no. And she pulls Ryan aside, and they go to the pool house.
Yeah. It's just so sad, because she just turns around to him and is like, tell me about her. Anything, just tell me about her. And it's just so sad. It's just,
oh, it's,
you can
like
just feel the heartbreak. Yeah, it's really sad. And then he tells her about the first time he met Marissa, the first time he saw her. And it's really funny, because it's really, I think this is actually really well written, because he's like, well, I just saw her and she was standing in the corner and she was wearing like this outfit, like jeans and a top, and I just thought she was really hot, and they both have a bit of a chuckle and a bit of a laugh, and you're like, because that's what you would have thought, and that's probably what you would say, and like, it's just that honesty between them's really lovely.
I loved it. I thought it was a really nice end to the episode, and just hopefully Julie starting to process her grief.
Yeah. What's he says, yeah, she just turned to me and gave me that smile, and she says, it was a beautiful smile.
Beautiful smile.
Do you think that's the last time they're ever going to mention Marissa? That's it. We're over it. Moving on. Aww. Never mentioned again.
Gone. We'll find out next week.
Next week's episode is called The Metamorphosis, and Shay is in the picture, which excites me greatly.
Yeah, I'm so glad he wasn't in this week. I was really starting to do my nutting.
I'm not going to lie, I thought Shay was going to be more of a Paris Hilton, a one-hit wonder. I did not expect him to be a recurring character.
A recurring character, yeah. It'll be good. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know if it's because these are so short as well, and I think it's because you've already had, I feel like when we were doing season three, it was all building towards, like, you knew what happened at the end of season three. Obviously, I knew what happened at the end of season three, and it was, like, so big and dramatic, whereas every episode feels like I've been much more excited, if that makes sense. Like,
I've really been enjoying this series so far. Yeah. Like, I've been enjoying it a lot more than I enjoyed season three.
Yeah. I think it's just, you know, that there was just a total sense of foreboding in season three, where that was going, you know. I'm enjoying.
Good. Me too. Please don't ask me what's going to happen next, because I literally have no freaking idea. Have no idea. I'm scared. You know, I'm just worried.
You know, I'm just bad to the whole, like, poker face, so yeah.
Maybe for the rest of the series we just park that. We're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Unless there's something I feel has to be said.
It's really driving you crazy. Yeah. And I think that was a nice conclusion to the Volchicks. That was not nice, but you know, that's come full circle at least.
A good conclusion. Listener of the week.
Yeah. Listener of the week.
Listener of the week.
Going for it.
It's really too low for me, that section.
Right, our listener of the week this week is Kerri-Anne La Spina. And Kerri-Anne got in touch via Instagram. Hi, love the pod. Your Scottish accents and phrases are delightful to me as an American. Started watching The OC during season 3 when it aired, became obsessed, and now binge watch every few years. I usually watch right up until before Marissa dies, but decided this time to rewatch season 4. Y'all might have found this on the message board, but there's an Easter egg in season 4, episode 7, The Chrismica. Pause right at 9:53 to find it. We love a bit of trivia.
I'll do that.
Hope you enjoy. And she also left us a glowing review on Apple Podcasts.
Yep.
Love these ladies. I watched DLC when it was live and revisited every few years. Binged it again recently now that it's on HBO Max, so it must be there
in America.
The States. Decided to go all in and listen to the podcast too, including Rachel Bilson and Melinda Clark's new podcast. Well, let me tell you, these Scottish ladies are simply delightful. They truly dissect each episode through a modern lens, sprinkling in charming Scottish phrases like wee little, wee thing, and gooey-eyed arsehole. Highly recommend to all new and long-time OC listeners. So, lovely review from Kerri-Anne. So, thank
That's
you.
That's so lovely. Like, that's so nice. I'm not going to lie, it's like a Monday night at 9:30 and I wasn't emotionally prepared for that.
Yeah.
So nice. Thanks.
Yeah, so lovely. So, yeah, thank you.
I'd like to do an additional wee shout out, which is not listener of the week, but just our thoughts are with you, to Sammy Lee, who's over in Australia, who is just not having a great time at the moment because Melbourne's back in lockdown and just not having a great time. So if you are in Australia and it's shit, it is shit. We have been through it too.
We've been
there, and it's so tough, but it will get better. I promise it will get better. It will pass. Just figure out what keeps you sane enough for now.
Yeah.
And in a future time, you'll be able to do all the fun things and party with your pals and do all the good stuff, I promise.
Yeah.
And get your drags when you can. Yeah,
definitely. Sending lots of love.
Speaking of Australia, did you know Married at First Sight UK is starting real soon?
No, I didn't watch the first one because how like, obsessed I'd become with it. So,
well, I was completely
I might get involved in that.
Completely obsessed with Married at First Sight Australia. Like,
yeah, I remember.
Obsessed. So, I'm very excited for the UK one. It's look. I've seen a couple of wee snippets, and it looks bloody brilliant.
Awesome.
Can't wait. On that note, I'm gonna go to bed.
Yeah. Me too. Very tired.
Sweepy. Sweepy. Jane had to go back to work today after, 6 weeks off?
8 weeks.
8 weeks. Mate, that sucks so hard.
But that way I didn't do a whole lot today, so I know I'm going to have loads to have to do tomorrow before actually facing children on Wednesday.
No,
but
it's going to be, you're going to be great.
We go again.
We go again next Thursday.
Yeah.
Same time, same place. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.